Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And for the first time on a Monday in many, many, many weeks, no Hall & Oates to start our show. No Victory Monday. The clock has struck midnight on a Cinderella run for the Commanders. They give up 55 yesterday. I got to tell you, though, Danny, it's not a misery Monday for me. I can compartmentalize and both be upset and frustrated by how they played in the NFC Championship game, giving up more points than any team ever has in that round, but also feel really, really good about what was an unlikely and an incredible and an unforeseen journey. Every rose has its thorn, my friend. Yesterday was tough.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I will. I'll be able to do it. I'll be able to look back and talk about how remarkable this all was and how much fun it was and the joy that 28 other teams were sitting there watching my team play football just like I was. Not now. It's still too raw. It's still too annoying. It's because it's them. If this was the Vikings or the Rams or the Cardinals or any non-offensive team, I'd go, oh, bummer. Let's talk about all the joy. It's that puke green. It's the stupid song. It's that team. This particular Eagles team is very hateable. They don't make my top 12 list of all times Eagles teams that I hate. Most of those include John Runyon. But God, that group is so annoying. They're excellent. They're great. They deserve to win the game. They were better. You know, we'll talk about individual calls and things that didn't go Washington's way. Philly was going to win the game. They are the better team, up and down, deserve to win it, etc. But yeah, it still hurts a little bit too much to kind of do the hey, big picture, let's take the autopsy of the year. I'll be able to, I promise, because it's the gig, but I'm upset, dude.
Yeah, I don't know that today has to be the day to do that, right. Honestly. I think it's an important home base, though, to be able, and today is a great day to do it as much as any, to say, man, just getting there was an accomplishment. It's wild that the season ended in the NFC Championship game. This is a massive win of a campaign. But you're right, it doesn't have to be today, really, that we talk about the good or the healthy of the organization. I'm going to, because I'm further along, it sounds like, in the healing process than you are. I mean, I got to be honest, it was such a house money journey.
It totally was.
That had they have lost in Tampa Bay, I would have been able to do it the next morning. Had they have lost in Detroit, which I was expecting, I would have been able to do it the next morning. And I'm certainly able to do that after yesterday in Philadelphia. I was actually talking to someone about this today. I want to get your thoughts. As embarrassing as losing by 32 points is and giving up 55, a 50 burger in the conference championship game. Mm. Ugly, brutal, you get outclassed, whatever. I think I would rather lose like they did yesterday, where, as I said, the clock struck midnight. All of the flaws that hadn't really been fully exposed yet got exposed in one game. And you went up against a team that's better than you that played its best playoff game while you played your worst playoff game. And you just lost in a game where you pretty much knew at the end of the third quarter, Washington was going to lose. And by the early fourth quarter, the question was, can they just get back into this game to make it interesting at all? I think I'd rather do that than had they have played Philly really tight and lost like, say, Buffalo did in Kansas City at Arrowhead. If yesterday was going to come down to the wire and they were going to lose at the Horn, or they could give up 55 and we could be sitting here saying they weren't ready for that yet, that's not really the game that they probably should have been playing in based on where they're at in their program, I think I would take what happened yesterday, honestly, than the excruciating, oh my God, I was this close to the Super Bowl. Because I'm able to wake up today and go, what a crazy run.
Yep.
That was fun. And they're just not that close to a Super Bowl team. Truly. I mean, and figuratively and literally. You saw it yesterday. They got too many fatal flaws. They got a chance to fix and cure them this offseason. But I think I'd rather it go how yesterday did than having really lost a heartbreaker at the Horn.
I think that's probably right. There's no good way to lose. Just to be very clear, especially to a rival, especially to a team that I can't stand and a fan base that I can't stand. But, you know, there's a quote, I'm trying to remember what it's from. What's better, a bullet to the brain or a bullet where you bleed out? I don't know. I guess that was more bullet to the brain.
That got real there for a second. Where
you go, okay, this one's over. That they're not coming back. They got no chance. Versus that, like, victory's right there and it's super close and it gets ripped away from you. I don't know. Yeah, no good way to do it, but I think this is probably the preferable way, if there is such a thing.
This is how it happens when the Cinderella story does not end with a championship, right? When the magical carpet ride ends abruptly. Like, all of the things that we've talked about going into every game against Tampa that could rear their head and end their season, against Detroit, the reasons why they weren't going to couldn't beat the Lions, they never really ended up costing them. And then you go up against Philly, and it all rears its head at once. There's going to be a lot of columns written. Think pieces will be bountiful on why yesterday happened. To me, this is so simple. And it's really two-pronged. You fumbled three times, and you turned it over four times. The single biggest reason why Washington won two playoff games, other than Jaden Daniels, but I could probably argue even more important to them winning the two playoff games than anything that Daniels did individually, was their plus six turnover margin. The fact that they were plus one with a takeaway and no giveaways in Tampa, and the fact that they were plus five takeaways, zero giveaways in Detroit. Then yesterday happened, Danny, and it was the opposite.
Yep.
Deami Brown fighting for extra yards, fumble. Jeremy McNichols on a kick return at the end of the half, right after you gave up a touchdown.
That was brutal.
Fumbles. Daniels and McLaurin hook up on the slant. You get within two. The next time Jaden Daniels touches the football, you're down 15 points.
27-12, just like that.
And you're chasing, and it's halftime, and it's a nightmare. And then in the second half, when they're showing some signs of life, low throw, Eckler standing up off the ground, gets the ball punched out. We'll talk to him tomorrow. He loses a fumble. The fourth turnover was a Jaden Daniels interception. Nice play by Quinion Mitchell. But I got to be honest, that's just like, take a shot down the field.
Yeah, you're forcing something, trying to make a play.
I don't really fault Daniels that much for that. But four turnovers. That's why you lost. And then on the other side of the ball defensively, you didn't have any answers. They couldn't stop Barkley. First play of the game, 60-yard touchdown. They couldn't cover A.J. Brown. Marshawn Lattimore, completely ineffective. They couldn't cover Devontae Smith. They couldn't cover Dallas Goedert. And Jalen Hurts, for the most part, had time to throw and looked healthy and played a really good, clean game. But defensively, what did they take away? It was the best game the Eagles have played all year. They had a season high in almost everything and scored 55 points.
So outside of the 60-yarder from Barkley, he was around 14 for 50-something, which isn't shutting him down, but it's not unbelievable.
He was also hurt after that.
And he was clearly banged up.
He was getting treatment for his calf. They stopped using him until his backup got hurt, and then he had to come back in the game.
Yeah, and so, you know, the point was, well, they said, okay, fine, we're going to try to commit to the run. And you know, they slowed Gainwell down, and the running game wasn't as effective. Constant third and sevens, third and eights, third and tens, converted as if they were 7-on-7 drills. I mean, that's where the defense is. They can barely sometimes, at times, maybe sort of slow something down. And then the other things available. Against a good offense. Against Carolina, when they're reeling, you can be aggressive and shove it on people. Against Cleveland, when they can't complete a forward pass, you can look really good. So the quality of the defense overall this year was buoyed by some of those games where they got fat. But that group needs a lot of work, quite frankly. And the pass defense, a number of times, guys were running alone, comfortable, uncovered, relaxed, catch. What do you want to do? Check your watch, order a sandwich, make a quick cell phone call at Joe Horn, and then get upfield.
The Eagles... Good Joe Horn reference, by the way. ran the same concept for like the play action deep outs to the sideline four or five times. Mm-hmm. And on every single one of them, Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown was wide open. Like, I'm trying to think, was there a contested catch made down the field by an Eagles receiver? On the fourth and five, when Brown ran past Lattimore in man coverage when he was in bump at the line of scrimmage, I look, there were PBUs. Lattimore had a couple of pass breakups, had one on a slant, I think the first throw of the game. Even Sanders still had a couple of pass breakups. But I don't remember anything down the field where an Eagle was well covered on a Hurts throw that was incomplete. They couldn't hang. And honestly, they didn't even really have to step on the gas pedal late. Like, Will Shipley was in the game, whoever that is, and he was just running through holes that you could have driven a truck through. It was a tough watch toward the end. A terrible way for a memorable, wonderful season to end.
Yeah, I mean, your last taste is that
32-point loss in the division. Like, just when you hear that, that's tough, man.
I mean, so the formula for them, they deserve blame. Philly deserves credit for turning the football over. The forced fumbles are clearly a thing that they do.
Which Quinn said, by the way, after the game, I was in his presser at the link. He's like, I want to make it clear. We didn't just lose the football. Like, they punched the ball out. They made plays. They ripped the ball out from Diami. I think it was Bond with a punch.
Yep.
The punch on Eckler was perfect.
Great play. I mean, they clearly schooled on it.
McNichols is the closest one to, like, a fluky, what the hell's the matter
with
you?
Yeah, that was just a vomit, I thought.
Kind of fumble. But for the most part, the Eagles, like, the Quinyon Mitchell pick was excellent play.
So even with the turnovers, and again, Washington deserves the blame, Philly deserves the credit, et cetera. It's an 11-point game in the third quarter. I'm not telling you that's right where you want to be. I'm not telling you, like, you got them, right? They're in your sights. But it was still kind of, it wasn't over yet.
Was that after? That was after two of the fumbles, right?
Yeah,
that was before the Eckler fumble and the Jaden pick.
And so you're in the game there, right? After you score, you stopped them. You're getting the ball back at 34-23 with some momentum, having been outplayed.
Yep, you're moving the ball.
You've got a chance right there. And now we're going to remember this as a blowout, and it was. Again, Philly was going to win; they were the better team. But the point was, even with the bad, you still had this charmed life that they were living, where they're not as talented, they're not as quick, they're not as strong, they're not as fast, they can't stop Philly, they can't contend with all the different things, they probably can't really run the ball consistently, the offensive line isn't quite good enough to hold up, and yet, here they are. If you drive and score right there, who the hell knows what's going to happen? And again, Philly deserves to win, they're the better team. But it's even still, within the blowout, that sort of ride we were on was continuing. Right? I mean, you still sort of felt like this thing is not over just yet. Let's see what happens after a score. Then that's that's when the bad happens. That's when Eckler fumbles. And that, to me, the instant that happened, and even though a Washington player came out with the football, I actually thought it was the right call, by the way. It's something that I don't think the NFL does consistently. Clearly, within the frame of play, the Philly player is on the ball and has it. Then he's touched or whatever, and Biotis rips it away from him. To his credit, he's still hustling. But a lot of times when the pileup happens, they go, whoever comes out with it has it. The Philly player had it. So I think it's the right call. It just sucks that it happened. As soon as that went down, that was the game. Like, that to me was the nail in the coffin. If you go down score right there and they were moving the ball that drive, then it's a different story. It wasn't right there. And that to me was when it ended.